Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
You are now listening to Wealth Building Wednesdays, curated conversations about the culture and wealth in the Black community. Without further ado, let's dive in.
Why do niggas hate jobs?
Just get straight to it then, bro.
No, in all seriousness, right? So, like, let's get to this.
Woogie boogie, nigga.
Oh, you thought I was going to bullshit? We ain't tiptoeing around at this time.
So, okay. Let's talk about it, bro.
So,
oh,
let's talk about it, right? So, since 2020, before 2020,
yeah.
We've talked about this extensively on our platform.
From the juice.
Yeah, we talked about this extensively on our platform. I'm telling you, but no, like, since 2018, 2019, since my knowledge of this space, people, especially Black and brown people, have been shitting on the job, right? Mm-hmm. The whole thing, I say up until really, until that pandemic money ran out, everybody was on that fuck them jobs train.
Yeah.
Like, man, fuck that job. What Beyonce album said? You won't break my soul. I'm going to quit that job for it. Let me do that shit. Yeah. It's like, people started jumping off the porch way too early. Being sold the dream of entrepreneurship,
yeah.
Being sold the dream of quick riches, a fast life, and freedom,
yeah.
That they really didn't realize they couldn't actually have.
So the first 5 years of entrepreneurship is 10 times worse than the job.
Nigga. Say that again,
the
please,
first
Tim.
5 years of your entrepreneurship journey, really the first 3 years.
Nigga.
It's 10 times worse than any job you can possibly have.
I want to speak from this as recent experience, recent 5 years. Once again, Black Wealth Renaissance has been in business for 5 years.
Yeah.
Hey, shout out to us, nigga.
Yeah.
We breaking statistics. Most Black businesses don't make it past
two.
What, two?
It's two.
So look, y'all, when he say that, you know how many hours we were putting in for Black Wealth Renaissance?
Not getting, and how many times you, how much, how unprofitable it is in the beginning.
Super unprofitable.
Bro, we
it,
quit
it
our jobs.
It created so much resentment. I ain't gonna lie. And that was
we quit our jobs hella early. We quit our jobs the first inkling. So, okay, let's talk about we had motion,
transparent
right?
Transparent moment.
We
transparent
had motion.
Transparent moment.
Yeah, we had a lot of motion.
So we like, okay, we're growing. We're seeing revenue grow. We're making $10,000 to $15,000 a month in the business.
Let's this quit these fucking jobs.
This is something we're doing on the side part-time. I'm at work. I was working as a teacher at the time. Terrible job. Wouldn't recommend it. Shout out to all the teachers. Y'all are amazing people.
He said terrible job. Well, damn. That was how you really
that
feel.
That shit was awful. Worst job I ever had.
You got to be a strong person for it. My girl is a teacher.
Yeah,
so.
My wife's in education.
It's different. You got to be built different. But what I recognized, like, while I was teaching, I'm like, bro, I'm over here looking at my phone, looking at these transactions come through, and I'm like, okay, if I'm working on this half-ass, what's going to be if I pour all the way in? Mm-hmm. But what I did, I cut off my nose to spite my face, in a sense, because what I did by cutting off a stable source of income and pouring all my time, energy, and effort into the business did grow.
Yeah.
But like you said,
guess what? The expenses didn't stop. Personal
expenses didn't stop. And you're still in the growing stages of a business. This was year one,
nigga.
Year one, we hopped off the porch.
You don't know what's a fad and what's consistent. And a lot of times those fads will give you a home run. You know, to give you a false mm-hmm. sense of success. I'll never forget when I first got into real estate. We had a dude, he got his license. he went and worked, we call it phone time, where you can answer the phones at the big companies. In his first call, he got $1 million transaction, $1 million listing. So that's $30,000 worth of commission. 3% of $1 million is $30,000 every day. And he thought that was the game. And as the year went on, he'd only sold like 2 or 3 houses, but he made 30 grand on his first transaction that he thought that was real estate.
Yeah, he thought this was going to be every lick. Yeah. Every lick was going to be a 30K
he
lick.
He had this false sense of reality, and he eventually, I believe, got out the game because it was just like, okay, I got this $30,000 hit, but it's just $30,000 for an entire year. I still made less than what I made in my job.
And what you just described, that made me think about almost like what they talk about with people that do heroin or something, chasing the white dragon.
Yeah.
You got that one big hit, that dopamine hit, because that's what it was like for us, right? Yeah. It was that dopamine hit, seeing them transactions come through, seeing all these things. Like, man, why am I over here giving all my time, energy, and effort to these people when I can just go ahead and go out and do my own thing? And it sounds great in theory, always, but like you just said, those first couple years, you're still figuring out what works in the business. So you have ebbs and flows, you have things that go up and down, and what we recognized was like, a lot of times when you start a business, you're not going to be paying yourself. If you watch Black Wealth Renaissance, you should know for a fact,
we said
that shit for a long time. We didn't pay ourselves for a long time, and then when we started paying ourselves, we wasn't paying ourselves a living wage.
Fuck no.
We was paying ourselves
enough to try to start getting out of debt.
Barely.
And I'm gonna be honest, 2019 I had just bought my truck.
Yeah.
So I got a brand new truck with a truck note, and I quit a fucking job. How much of a, I don't want to call myself an idiot, but that was just a bad decision.
Hope.
It was a lot of hope there, right? But
it was
hope doesn't
produce real results. Who got us killed on that one? Fuck.
And I'm never the person to say stop your entrepreneurial dreams. Never say don't pursue your entrepreneurship. But as Black people, we do need to have an open, honest conversation about the importance of having stable income from jobs while you're building and growing your business. Because if you're struggling and trying to grow your business, you're going to start operating out of survival mode, niggas. Right. This is me talking to you from personal experience. Last year, shit was so bad. It was so bad, bro. That was the brokest I had been in my adult life. Chasing the dream of entrepreneurship. Being so hard-headed. Being stubborn about the fact that shit's not going the way that I want it to go right now.
And not pivoting when you should have. Because you had this false sense of reality about how shit should be. That's that hope. And a lot of Black people that I see, instead of admitting that they're in over their head, they'll drive that motherfucker to the wheels fall off. And then they'll start hating that business. They'll start hating the people in that business. They'll start hating their customers. It's just like, fuck them. Because it's like, y'all here showing up, giving me likes and giving me, do all this shit. Buy something, goddammit. You know?
That's a fact.
And it's like, they'll secretly, quietly go back to work. And we don't hear from them no more. Until they back on, you know, 2-3 years later. And it's like, you shouldn't have to be ashamed to have a job. A job is the biggest lick for an entrepreneur. When I first started selling real estate, I sold houses to people I worked with. I was able to leave my job based on the relationships I had with people at work who trusted me to buy a house. But then I did some whole shit. I'm going to be straight up, you know. I start putting too many eggs in one basket, not being prepared, and I ended up having to go back to work. Then I figured out.
So wait, what was the whole shit? I don't want to let you know.
Overspending. You know, I was just overspending, trying to live up. I'll never forget, I bought a new Lexus.
You was out there flexing on them, too?
Lexus. And I bought a new car, and I'll never forget, you know, somebody said, you know, you're in real estate, you're selling real estate out there, you need to have a better car. So I went out, bought a new car, had a $600-$700 car note, and no one ever rode in my car. When I tell you, no one ever hopped in my car, I never toured anybody in that car. Because the average person, the demographic that I was helping, they had kids, they had a family, and their mindset, they didn't want to mess my car up. I could have kept a Toyota, you know what I'm saying? But just trying to look the part instead of actually being the part. And I had to take my ass back to work. because there were bills. You know what Juvenile said? I got a problem with my hand. A few bills I ain't been paying. I ain't missed no bills. But I was financially overwhelmed to the point to where I didn't have anything to show for at the end of my transactions. So I went back to work, made a plan. I got back into business. Then I made the second hoe-ass mistake.
What was the second mistake, Tim? What was the second mistake?
The second hoe-ass mistake I made as an entrepreneur is I start shitting on people with jobs.
Ooh, that I'm so glad you talked about, my right? nigga.
We did the same thing for a little minute.
I won't say we shitted on people with jobs.
Well, we swayed people.
We encouraged people to leave their entrepreneurship
job. Yeah.
If it means leaving your job. And I will take culpability in that because that's what we were living at that time. So whenever you're living, you're like, okay, this is great.
Everybody can do it. What
y'all come join? The water's great, guys. Yeah. Get in.
I was shitting on people. Like, man, y'all sitting out here at work. I remember one time.
I couldn't. $20 for 60 minutes of my time? I could never.
You're exchanging dollars for hours, you know. And then I'll never forget, man, I made one of the most shameful things that I feel like as a person I ever said. Was I did an interview with somebody and I said I felt like, you know, the corporate America job structure was a pimp hoe relationship. And all entrepreneurs were like, yeah. But all the people that work was like, man, the fuck this nigga think he is. And then somebody came to me that was working for me and was like,
so you
what
the
do
pimp?
You think about me?
I'm a hoe?
What do you think about me? So if you feel like the corporate structure is a pimp hoe relationship, how you feel about me? I work for you. And it was humbling.
I was about to say, what was your answer? What was your response to that?
I shut the fuck up. Because the fact of the matter is if I own a business, the whole purpose is to scale it. I'm going to have to hire people to work for me to make my business right. Whether it's a design person who's doing my flyers, somebody who's doing my marketing, I'm employing them to work for me. So how dare I shit on a person that's got a job? And in fact, 99% of my clients had a W-2. Them 1099 people couldn't buy no house.
That's a fact.
Because entrepreneurs ain't making no bread for
real. They're writing everything off. So while they might be bringing in six figures a year, they're writing off six figures a year. So a bank is not going to give them a loan. I know it's going to be a motherfucker in the comments. Well, you got stated income loans. You can go through these parties, places where I ain't talking about them. I'm talking about the average person. And so it's like, I had to really reassess, like, one, if you have a job and a W-2, it's easier for you to get a loan. It's easier for you to get a 1-4 family loan because you can prove your income.
Mm-hmm.
But two,
stability.
It's not how much money you make, it's what you do with it. Mm. I know a lot of people who's in entrepreneurship who's fucking their money off.
Buying G-Wagons and all this other dumb shit.
And a lot of them was committing fraud and we just won't keep it a bug.
And you starting to see it come to light. A lot of that shit that's happening from 2020.
You're right.
A lot of these people catching up. We're talking about, I should have took the load. Hey, the niggas might be slow, but Uncle Sam always going to get his, nigga.
Listen, man. I was trying to tell people back then, especially the G-Wagon. G-Wagon
tax write-off play.
I was telling people that's fraud. You're defrauding a company out of money. When you don't have the intentions to pay back that loan, that's fraud.
That's a fact.
I don't care how you spend it, bro. And when it comes time to law enforcement, they typically enforce it with black folks.
That's 100%
of fact. They swing that motherfucking hammer down, right? Like Thor in that motherfucker.
They upgrade from the gavel to a sledgehammer when it comes to black folks.
And even like with the credit repair shit, like, I be watching the credit repair videos and I'm like, that's fraud. They're telling you to file.
Tell them you want an auto loan and then don't get an auto. Don't buy a car with
it. Let it convert to a personal loan. That is definitely fraud.
Or, you know, getting fake police reports and saying that it's fraud. Like, you can be prosecuted for that shit, bro. And they come down. They always make the example of us. But that's a person being an entrepreneur, shitting on people with jobs. So I had to take a step back and say, there's nothing wrong with having a job. And I feel like within the black community, even now, I feel like we're passing down this to our kids. I talked to so many kids who graduated high school. I said, what do you want to be? Man, I want to be an entrepreneur. Okay, what do you want to do? Man, I want to get into real estate. Okay, like specifically doing what? Well, flipping houses. Okay, well, what type of income do you currently have? What you mean? Nigga, where do you work?
I just graduated.
You know
you know, well, I just graduated, so I'm about to take this stock options class and learn how. Okay, so you're finna take this stock options class, yeah, and I'm gonna take this Airbnb class. And it's just like, bro, the warehouse is hiring. You know what I'm saying? Like, go get
that's a UPS, sure thing. Niggas is making $100,000 now, niggas.
And UPS are hiring. I worked at UPS.
Whenever we were going through that transitional period, yeah. A couple of them UPS part-time jobs is what made ends.
Man, what?
Bruh, they'll hire anybody because their whole thing is about seniority. So, yeah, you're going to have to bust your ass and do the hard work. Because when I was there, I was working at one at the airport. I was loading motherfucking airport cans. Now I'm 6'2". Oh. And these airport cans are 5.5 feet tall. Just, you know, you talking about my back still hurt from that job.
We knew people inside, so we got some of the good jobs.
Well, shit, I did. Y'all probably was on the little loader, right?
Nah, not even. I was walking around.
We were walking around, checking the trucks on the yard, nigga. Done with the job in 1 hour and 15 minutes.
I got fucked. But what I'm saying is like, there's a lot of jobs out there that can get you from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. And many of the people at those jobs with you can be some of your best clients. Mm. If you just learn how to run that
play. Our business partners.
Our business partners, bro. And I talk to kids nowadays and it's like, I don't want no job. My mom, I watched my mama work a job. It didn't work out for her. Okay, well, you don't have any business acumen. You're not trained. You don't have a skill set.
She put some damn food on the table for your young ass, too.
There's some nice Jordans you got on. Like, come on.
And I'm glad we're on this conversation. Like, when I think about a lot of the shaming that occurred during that period, right? Jobs, they had all these little creative acronyms to shit on them, right?
Just over broke. That's my favorite one.
What's another one? They got so many, but Just Over Broke is the biggest one that I know. But I think we do really need to redefine it. Like, this is just another opportunity, really. Like, this is an opportunity to build what you really focused on. And again, it's like, why would you not want to have a secure, stable source of income while you're building what you're building?
I don't want to work at McDonald's. I don't want to do that.
Nigga, get a better job. Like,
but we have so much pride. Like, we don't want to be seen losing.
That's the motherfucking word. Somebody asked me
right now, if I didn't have no money and I had to start over, what would I do? I would go to the first place that's hiring. I don't care where it's at. I would go to the first place that's hiring. I would literally sell everything I had. I would move back home. My mama would find a family member that would let me rent a room. And when I rented that room, my thing with them would be this. You don't have to worry. As long as you keep groceries in here, you don't have to clean up. You don't have to do shit. Every time you come home, this house is going to be clean. If I'm home from work, I'll cook. Like, I'm going to put that sweat equity in, right? But a lot of people won't do that shit.
That's a fact. You know They're not saying? Humble enough.
They're not humble enough because it's like we think we should show up and be winning. It's like, where the fuck do we get this mentality?
What makes us feel like we're entitled to win without putting the work in?
That's a cultural thing, bro. And it's like, that's why we were we at, because, you know, when you look historically of other groups that have been disenfranchised, the one thing that separates them from us is that they completely shut down all the bullshit. They would move and live together. They would put their money into one vehicle. Like, you know, I'll never forget when I first got out of the military, I got an apartment in Plano. And so I remember I came home one day and I was in some nice apartments. You know, it was upstairs living, downstairs garage. Just some nice apartments for a 19, 20 year old, right?
Yeah.
And most of my neighbors, obviously half of the apartment complex, were people from India.
I lived in the urban area, so same thing.
What I noticed about them, and I'm not putting them over us, I would never, you know, elevate another group of people over my people to make a point. I'm giving you an example. There would be four guys living in a two-bedroom apartment. Sometimes it'd be more than that. They would all be driving the same car to the same job. They all worked at Nokia or, you know, Lucent Technologies or whatever was out there. They all pretty much had the same type of job and they all lived in that one apartment. So I'm paying $800 by myself. They splitting $800 by four people.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludicrous.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
I got a car note that's $400 or $500. They driving in a paid off Toyota and they all drive in the same car.
Stacking bread. That bread.
Stack.
Paid off. So I'm paying for an apartment. I'm paying for a car. You get a light bill that's $100 a month. I'm paying a whole light bill. They splitting it four ways. I'm paying a whole water bill. They splitting it four ways. Groceries. They buying groceries. They not eating out. I'm going to Whataburger, eating out. I'm spending $15 a meal, $10 a meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And they going to the little Indian market, a little place. Every time you open their door, you can smell they cooking something. Like, just the mentality was, yeah, we over here, we going to look like we struggling for a couple years, but watch when the come up hit. And they stayed at them damn jobs. And then they take their money and then they'll go buy hotels. Because if you...
Hotel sixes and shit.
If you start looking... And I have a guy that's going to be on the podcast, Soonjay. Like, he talks about how he was, you know, pretty much getting ready to go to medical school. And was like, I just don't want to do this no more. And he got into the hotel industry. But he had a plan to get into it, right? And it's like, it all started with a job. Like, at what point in the game do we start realizing that a job is one of the biggest parlays? But see, we get that job money... And we try to live above our means. We make $100 and we spend $120.
That's a fact.
Then we get into debt. And it's a cycle. It's perpetuated over and over and over. And somebody like me come along and say, bro, just take a year off. Move back home with your mama, bro. I ain't moving home. I'm a grown ass man. I want to fuck and do a... All right. I did it. I sold my car, rented my house, moved back to the crib. You know what I'm saying? And I only stayed there for a couple months because, you know, certain things, you know, that nigga shit kicked in. But then I found a roommate where I was able to just pay a couple $100 a month and live somewhere and stack my bread. You know what I'm saying? But we won't do that. And I got a job.
I think it goes a lot back to what you said. It's a lot of pride.
Yeah.
It's a lot of ego. And it's this just this fixation on looking like success. For some reason, somehow, some way, we've allowed a job to not look like success. We think job and we automatically think McDonald's. We think I'm getting bare minimum for nothing. But there are jobs, like you said, them guys that are working, jobs like what we're doing right now, where you can make decent money. You can make real bread that you can use to funnel and fund the things that you want to and need to do.
My sister's been in the insurance business for 20 plus years, working at, you know, like different insurance companies. Now she's an adjuster. I've never met somebody so at peace. She work a lot, but man, she making some good money. And all you need is time to pass the test. And then you get into this network, like it's hurricane season now. She done moved back to Florida. She lives between Dallas and Florida.
It's about to be popping.
And it's like,
bitches hit, I'm out of there too. Y'all catch me in Florida.
Bruh. And it's like, easily. I mean, six figures is a scratch on the... That ain't shit.
You do something like that, you might mess around and make 20 to 30 in a month.
In a month?
That's a job. People don't think that's a job, though.
That's a job.
A job won't pay me $20,000 to $30,000 yes, a month.
Nigga, I can show you pay stubs, nigga. Me personally. Just a few months ago, I was in Minnesota for 2 months. 20 bands a month.
At that job. But if we're going to keep it a buck, y'all wasn't pulling that in on your business.
Fuck no. I'm going to be 100%.
I will say it adamant. Nigga, I was not paying myself for real. You know how much we was paying ourselves? I can be transparent, Tim. We were paying ourselves $1,250 a month.
And y'all were miserable as fuck.
Nigga, I was sleeping on a couch, nigga.
Staying with my girl.
You were miserable. I remember going out to y'all's studio in Grand Prairie. I remember just seeing y'all, even when y'all start coming here. Y'all were miserable as fuck.
Niggas was tired.
Terrible. Yeah, worn out.
I didn't even know y'all was at UPS.
I was like a hoe that was just rolled hard and hung up wet, nigga. I was done.
That's the most Louisiana shit.
I never heard that shit.
Y'all ain't never heard that?
No, nigga. That's some Louisiana shit.
That's some shit Ray made.
I'm going to say a big pause on that.
But listen. I just remember y'all during that period. Y'all were shut off. Y'all were quiet because you were holding on to this idea that you had to be successful by owning your own shit. Mm. And what you don't realize is that owning your own shit creates a lot of liabilities. And those liabilities tend to fall on you. And if you don't have the systems in place, that liability is going to be solely on you. There's nothing wrong with having a second source of income, you know, or having a job to take care of that. Man, When I went back to work, the first time I went back to work for 9 months at a bank. And I paid off a shitload of debt. And then I went back to work for 9 more months at an insurance company a couple years after that. And I got completely debt free. And then every house that I sold now was, it was essentially net. And I was selling a lot of houses. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't have to worry about the bullshit no more. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I got that from going back to work. But a lot of people feel like that's a shameful thing. Like, no, take your ass back to work.
Hey, I'm going to be real. And I want to ask you for your, from whenever you had to go back to work. Because I know for me personally, that was one of the big challenges. I'm not sitting here acting like I'm bigger or better than nobody. Yeah. That was a mental struggle for me.
That was a big pill to swallow.
That's why I ended up, like we talked about earlier when I said last year, I was the brokest I had been as an adult. I could have made changes earlier to prevent that from happening.
Nigga was still an insurance adjuster.
I had my license since 2020. Mm. I never used that motherfucker because I was so fixated with my pride. My pride had me telling me that I have to make this work this way. And if it doesn't work this way, nothing else is ever going to happen.
I'm a failure.
When I went back to work that first time, I felt like a failure. And I was making great money. I ain't gonna lie. Like, my partner was like one of the VPs at the company, called me, was like, "Hey man, you looking for a job?" It was so random, bro. He got me in for an interview. I got hired like within a couple weeks. I was making good money. But I still felt like a failure because I wasn't selling real estate. Then I ended up paying off some debt. I went back to school, finished my degree full time. After I finished my degree, I started a master's program, but I went back to work. And after when I got that second job, bro, I paid off everything. Like, literally 80% of my check went towards debt.
Damn.
Because I had sold a few houses and I stacked that money up. And I said, okay, this money is going to be specifically for rent. I, you know, I moved out the house, ended up getting a roommate, and it wasn't even a car, no, because I sold my car. It's just going to be 100% or as much as I can to pay off debt. It was the best move I ever made. And after I paid off all my debt, then I went back to work for myself full time because I didn't have that extra worry and I knew what not to do. And then I stole the systems, like, not physically stole, but
no, I understand what you're saying.
I stole.
Because that's another aspect of it that we don't talk about often enough whenever you're a green entrepreneur. Them first few years in business, whenever you first learning how business operate, you don't understand enough about business.
Fuck no.
You don't understand enough about operations.
Systems. You don't understand how to hire people. How to make sure that, once again, you can hand this off to this person and they can produce the same results that you can do without second guessing shit.
How taxes. To train people.
Taxes is another big one.
Taxes. I got stung my first couple years of entrepreneurship. Like, when I really started selling houses, when I was really making money, I remember I got like a $60,000 tax bill. Ooh. I was like, what the fuck am I going to do with this shit? You know what I'm saying? That was back when I was like doing my taxes, you know, like on
TurboTax.
I plugged them numbers in, was like, oh no.
So I need to go talk to somebody.
I need to go talk to somebody.
That nigga Tim immediately got stressed.
I called my attorney. I said, bro, I need an accountant. He started laughing at me. He said, call my guy, man. And I called his accountant. He went through him. He was like, you did everything all wrong. Not because you're dumb, but because that software is not going to find you what you need. Like, there are certain things that you need to know as a business owner that you can write off. I didn't know certain things I can write off, but I wanted to buy a house too, so I had to prove income. It was the most eye-opening experience, bro, when I looked at that tax bill, and he got it to a much better place. I still owed a lot, you know, but it wasn't that number, right? And he found me the right write-offs. But, you know, a job didn't teach me that. I mean, entrepreneurship didn't teach me that. A job taught me all the structure. You see what I'm saying? And then hiring somebody who has a job taught me everything else I need to know. So it's like, we got to stop bullshitting and pretend like we bigger than certain things.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Yeah, no, as entrepreneurs in the black community, we definitely have the responsibility to stop shitting on jobs. I've definitely seen a shift in like the last year.
Because niggas had to go back to work.
Niggas
got humble as fuck.
I'm niggas. I went my black ass back to work.
And how's that? How's
that
how's
shit
life?
Feels a lot better. I ain't going to hold you because I ain't stressing on a regular about how the fuck I'm going to make this money. Because whenever it was just on me, it was on me. And it wasn't like I had, excuse me, I had 8 team members. Nigga, it was David. If David ain't got no motion, ain't no money being made.
Mm.
You know how bad of a fit, that's a terrible plan, bro. Because if you have an off day, if you get sick, if you, God forbid, something happened to me, I'm in a hospital or some shit, I ain't making nothing.
And you know that the landlord and that car people, they don't care. They don't give a fuck. They're going to send that tow truck to get that car.
They don't give a fuck.
They're going to put that eviction notice on you.
Exactly. And like, I thought I put myself in a good position. Honestly, like, I bought my truck, paid it cash. I'm like, okay, I don't have no monthly big bills coming in. I can handle this. I can float it. But as I started incurring more expenses, I got my own place. I stopped sharing a spot with somebody. I got my own place. I bought a couple cars, got on Turo. It became this snowball. And you were saying that earlier. I was talking with my guy, George Pitts. He was saying that this does happen to a lot of people that get into entrepreneurship. They over-leverage themselves. Mm. You get over-leveraged trying to generate more revenue.
Yeah.
A lot of people with the Turo business. I jokingly integrated my people into Burning Ship. I was telling people to get into Turo. Yeah. And I still think it's a viable thing for some people to make money. But whenever it comes down to it, you gotta really look at this and take it for what it is. It's like, okay, if I'm not making money at this level, sometimes scale isn't always going to be the solution. Your business model needs to change. So it's like a lot of people, they went and got these $50,000, $60,000 loans, ran the Bank of America play, bought a couple cars, ran into some mechanical issues. They didn't really budget it out right. And now they underwater on some vehicles and trying to get out of that situation.
Them shit sitting in the shop.
And there's a lot of people that won't say it. Nobody will get on social media and say this was going on. I talk to people in Turo and trucking. Anything transportation right now is going down. Mm. The people in trucking, most of the people I know on a big scale, they are getting the fuck out of there because it is getting hard. Selling their shit
and going back to work.
They're going back to work, and there's nothing wrong with that. And as a community, we got to stop just because we see a few people winning thinking that, oh, because they winning. If I'm not winning like they winning, I'm a loser.
Mm.
That's not how that work. And this is something I have to work through myself because I felt like a fucking loser.
Mm.
You want me to tell you what
going
else?
Going back to work? Oh, man. But when I got that check, though, let me tell you. I love the way you talk to me. My cash machine. When that check came in.
Nigga, go to the dentist now. Fuck these cavities. Pay that $200 copay.
Man, what? But another thing that, you know, black people do is we look at things as either or.
Black and white.
Yeah, like, I can't be an entrepreneur and go to a job. Or I can't. It has to be one or the other.
Yeah.
But once again, tying everything back, you can do both of them.
Yeah.
We're not telling you to give up on your dream or anything. But if you're struggling, be real with yourself. Look yourself in the mirror, be accountable, and say the shit. Nigga, I'm broke. I'm fucked up. I am down bad, and I'm in a position I do not want to be in. Mm. And look at yourself and say that. It's not going to feel good. But the moment you start to accept that shit, that's when you're going to be able to start to overcome what you're doing. Let yourself know, I need a job.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm going to do. Every day from 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock, I'm going to apply for 4 jobs, and then I'm going to follow up and call people. You give yourself an action plan. You follow those plans, and you make yourself accountable. You write it all down. And then that's whenever you're going to start really leveraging, start leveling up. You're going to be able to start really seeing a shift in your life. And also, I'm going to tell people this, too. I know, Tim, we said, you know, I'm going to just go to the first job that's hiring. I know for me, whenever I said, okay, I'm going back to a job, I did want a job that was paying well. Because that was one of my biggest plights whenever I was in the workforce prior to that. I wasn't making shit. Yeah.
That's part of what made me quit my job.
So. I was making like $2,800.
Based on what you were doing, though.
Yes.
You got to realize the workload versus the payload.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't, you know, consider that. It's like, if I'm only going to be getting $50,000 and I'm doing this shit, I might as well struggle over here.
I think teaching, I was in Louisiana, my first year, they was paying me like 35.
They ain't paying you nothing, Louisiana.
35?
I'm not trying to be funny, but you know.
No, I'm saying that's the reason why. Because like, okay, you're looking at it over here, and this is for business owners that might be in that same situation. You're looking at your business looking like it's on track to make 6 figures. I'm over here about to make 30K. Fuck I'm doing over here. But that 6 figures, that's for your business. It's not all your money.
It's not.
That's not your money.
At all.
And You operating like that's your money gonna put you in a bad situation.
That's a fact.
But man, now this is some good
hell
shit.
Yeah.
Man.
I want to say find y'all some skills that you can go make some good money with.
And I just want to add on to what Jalen said again. You got to go back to work, bro. This is okay. Me talking to you. It's okay. Don't look at yourself or feel like you less than. Do what you have to do to take care of you and your family. And you, what you gotta got going on for yourself, because I promise you this. Don't nobody else really gonna give a fuck about what you got going on.
At all.
Ain't nobody about to come save you and change your situation.
At all.
So if you're not gonna do it for you, you're gonna stay in the same place, feeling miserable, feeling stuck, feeling defeated. And your business, nothing fruitful can grow from that struggle and that survival mentality. So do what you gotta do.
You're gonna end it right there.
That's it.
All right.
Oh, shit. Oh, damn. Hey, y'all still here? Hey, yo, what's good, family? It's your boy, David, with BWR. Appreciate you tapping into Wealth Building Wednesdays with us. As always, want to thank you for tuning in with BWR. We got a lot more content coming your way. Make sure you tap in next Wednesday. Leave a review. Let us know what you're thinking. And also, I'd be remiss if I didn't tell y'all. Fellas, this is for all the kings out there. Black Men's Summit 2023 in Atlanta. We are less than 60 days away. Link is in the show notes. It's a celebration of kings. We got some heavy hitters coming through. We got our brother Julian Gordon. We got the one and only Derek Grace. We got Pastor Jamal Bryant and so much more, man. It's a lot more pressure coming your way. Black Men's Summit, y'all don't want to miss it. It's a celebration of kings. We're going to be giving real tools to help you lead and grow and develop the community. That's what we're here for. That's why we started Wealth Building Wednesdays. We want to curate these conversations that can lead the community. And until next time, this your boy David with BWR. Holla at you. Peace.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludicrous.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.